And Commissioner Robinson, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Please rise. Hand over your heart. Repeat after me or follow along with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tom, roll call.
Commissioner Summer.
Present.
Vice Chairman Robinson.
Present.
Chairman Eichard.
Here.
And Commissioner Demers is absent.
All right. So we have an agenda for us. Is this the final agenda?
Yes, it is.
With some changes?
Yep.
We'll get to those later. We'll get to those later on, isn't it? Okay, next, this is a public comment period, and at this time, I'd like everybody to do what I'm going to do and take out my communication device and make sure it's on stun so that we won't be disturbed during the course of the meeting. And at this time, if there is anyone who has a comment that about topics that are not on the agenda tonight, this is the time to do so. You should fill out one of these little cards here as to what your topic is and who you are and where you're from and so on and so forth. And we may or may not be able to address it tonight. So are there any comments? Do you have any cards, Tom? No?
Not for public
not
comment.
Not for those. Okay, good. Then we'll move on to the consent calendar. And we have one item.
Minutes for the October 25th, 2016 Planning Commission meeting. Staff recommends approval.
I'll make a motion approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. And we'll go on to order of business. I mean, we have one item for order of business, and it is 16 miscellaneous, 12 Santa Paula Unified School District, Webster Elementary right-of-way. And who's going to, you're going to?
I will introduce it, and then I'd like to call up the Public Works Director to present it. But just a brief overview, the city in working conjunction with the Santa Paula Unified School District, this item is before us this evening to assist with a situation at Barbara Webster Elementary School, and we're hoping to do a better job of the parking situation out there. So what this is John Eliason will explain, kind of a formality or paper trail to get to the end result, which is a right-of-way vacation by the city to the school district to produce a better parking plan out there. So at this point in time, I'm going to reintroduce John, our interim Public Works Director, who is in charge of working with the school on trying to accomplish this, which benefits both the city and the Santa Paula Unified School District. So, John, welcome.
Thank you, Jana. Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. John Eliason, Interim Public Works Director and City Engineer. Just like the planning director has mentioned, this is a request by the Santa Paula Unified School District to vacate a portion of public right-of-way on 11th Street. That portion of right-of-way is shown in the exhibit of your staff report as exhibit A and B. They are a legal description and plat. The Public Works Department did analyze the requests, and it is in accordance with the government code 65402 that no real property shall be disposed of or no street shall be vacated or abandoned until the Planning Commission reports on conformity of the location per purpose and extent of the Santa Paula General Plan. And that's why this particular agenda is before the commission for that reason. Staff also evaluated the reason regarding any present or prospective public use of that portion of public right-of-way. And it appears that that portion of right-of-way is unnecessary for the present or prospective public use that cannot be reserved by reservation of public utility and public service easements. So what does that mean is the city may vacate this portion of right-of-way accepting existing public easements or making reservations of that. There are current public utility easements. There are overhead or above-ground electric facilities. So those particular utilities need to be reserved for easements in the event those need to be maintained by Southern California Edison. And there's also gas, natural gas facilities that are in that right-of-way, and those also need to require easements for maintenance for the Southern California Gas Company. Finally, staff evaluated the reason for the request and in regards to the non-motorized transportation facility. So that portion of right-of-way is actually in the sidewalk area, and it's it doesn't appear to be required for any non-motorized transportation facility. So the particular portion of right-of-way, as shown in Exhibit B more graphically, is basically 8 feet wide by 300 feet long on the east side of 11th Street. There are three options or alternatives in the staff report. However, staff does recommend that the Planning Commission select alternative number one, adopting the resolution 3756, finding and reporting that location, purpose, and extent of the vacation portion of the public right-of-way on 11th Street are in general conformance with the general plan. If there are any questions regarding the procedure of the vacation process, I am here to answer those questions. If you have any questions regarding the school district's project, we do have a representative from the school district here to entertain those questions. Thank you.
Commissioners, any questions? All good? All right. Hear a motion?
Is there any public comment?
Not on this.
Okay. I'll make a motion.
Excuse me, Chairman, I would recommend that opportunity be given to the public if they want to comment on this.
Okay. Any public comment? I don't have no comment sheets, but.
That's a good indicator.
Any objections? Commissioners?
I will make a motion that we approve alternate one, adopting resolutions 3756, finding and reporting that the location, purpose, and extent of the vacated portion of the public right-of-way on 11th Street are in general conformance with the general plan.
Second.
Roll call. Tom, roll call vote.
Commissioner Sommer?
Favor.
Vice Chairman Robinson?
Yes.
And Chairman Eckert?
Yes. All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
So now moving on to the public hearing. And there are two items that are on the public hearing. And for your information, we're going to take these out of order. What you may see on the printed page is B. It will be listened to first and dealt with first. And then A will be second. But before that, Tom, have we ensured that legal notice has been made for this public hearing?
Yes, been properly noticed.
Thank you. Are there any declarations of conflicts with the commissioners?
No declaration of conflicts or ex parte contacts with the applicant, but I do know the property very well.
You do know the property. If you live in Santa Paula, you probably would know the property.
I've attempted to buy the property.
Ah, okay. Commissioner Robinson?
Just a comment. I live on View Drive, 380, which is right down the street from this project. Initially, I thought I would not be able to participate in the public hearing, but staff advised me that I am well outside the circle that would constitute a conflict of interest. So here I am.
Good. I have none either, even though I drive past that property every day for the past 25 years plus. So, with that, we'll open the public hearing, and we'll address 16PD03147 View Drive.
Okay. Chairman Eichert and members of the commission, I'd like to introduce or reintroduce Anna Arroyo, our assistant planner, who has taken on this project and has processed it, so she's here this evening to make the presentation. Anna, please.
Good evening, members of the Planning Commission. Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. It's nice to be back. I don't believe I've ever been here for a project before you. It's been a couple of years since I presented, so it's nice to be back.
Good.
And the project before you this evening, as indicated, it's Project 2016-PD03 at 147 View Drive. The applicant is Gary Ost, who's here tonight. And as indicated in the report, the request is for a plan development permit to allow conversion of an existing 1,194 square foot garage into a new one-story single-family residence and to construct a 294 square foot porch in the front and maintain the existing carport to comply with the required parking. Many of you know 147 View Drive is in the northern part of the city. Make sure I have a pointer. This is the parcel. It's 5.29 acres. It's been used as an avocado orchard. The garage was used as maintenance for the production of the orchard. There's an existing pump. I'll show you photos that irrigates the site. Access is off of View Drive, this long driveway. It's approximately 415 feet. The neighborhood is all single-family residents. To the west, we have R1 zoning, and to the east and south, you have Hillside, and to the north is County, which is what we call Fagan Canyon. Let's see. Here's a site plan that shows the topo and the existing structures and driveway. This is an enlargement of the site plan with more detail since it's all existing. It shows the location of the avocado orchards and the pump house that irrigates the site. And this also shows the required fire access turnaround. There's a requirement where I wish I knew this number, it's 150 feet or more, you have to provide a turnaround for a fire truck. This plan also shows the existing garage and the carport as it currently exists. Here's a closer version of the existing floor plan of the garage and the carport, and there's a bathroom in it. This is the proposed floor plan that shows two bedrooms, a living room, a kitchen, a laundry room, the bathroom, and the existing carport. The numbers are off on the plans because it doesn't show the eave overhang. So, but when you calculate it correctly, it is 640. This slide shows the existing elevation and the proposed, pointer. These garage doors will be converted into two new windows. The proposed front porch, the shutters, and the existing carport. No changes are proposed. Am I going too fast? Okay. And this is their color material board, which shows the existing terracotta tile. They're going to use that as well for the front porch. This is the proposed color melted wax for the stucco. And this is the proposed color for the columns and shutters. And I skipped one. This is the proposed dark brown called tea bag for the trimming and around the roof. So all these the trim around the roof and these beams, they would be painted a dark brown. Let's move it along. Here's existing elevations, which shows the existing carport, the side north elevation that shows the new front porch. Same on the slide. As you can tell, it's lower than the existing pitch. No changes are proposed to the height. Let's see. Additional photos. This is the existing pump house, the existing driveway to the site, another photo of the driveway, and a portion of the existing garage. Here's a side and the orchard. Let's see. Additional site photos detailing a little bit more of the trimming, the side of the home, the northeast corner, the garage, and again, the existing garage. This photo shows view from Bradley. So currently what people see is the avocado orchard, the pump house, and pretty much the garage and the carport are screened by existing vegetation. So there's no view issues since there's no changes to the height, or with the exception of the addition of the porch, that's the only new construction. Additional photos. This shows the existing gate that was permitted back in the late 80s when they built the garage. Other views of homes in the neighborhood. With that, staff is recommending that the Planning Commission approve the plan development permit to convert the existing garage into a single-family residence and allow the carport to comply with the required parking and the addition to the structure for the front porch addition. I'm sorry. That concludes staff's presentation. The applicant's here for any questions, or if I can elaborate on anything that was in the staff report that you may have questions on.
Any questions of staff?
I have a couple of questions. One of the items it states is the proposes conversion of the existing two-car carport into a two-car garage.
The resolution? Yes. That information was, I apologize, we did not route it. There are some proposed changes so that the resolution reflects the staff report. And if I could read into the record. Do you have my markup? No. So the title would read, a resolution of the Santa Paula Planning Commission approving a plan development permit to convert an existing garage into a single-family dwelling unit and permit the existing two-car carport to comply with the required parking regulations for a property located at 147 View Drive. So that would be the heading that would be changed. And then in the description, under Section 1A, it would read the same. After the project number, it would say to convert an existing 1,194 square foot garage into a single family dwelling unit and permit the existing two-car carport to comply with the required parking regulations for property located at 147 View Drive.
Okay, so there is no garage going to be built then.
Correct. As part of the fact that the project is in the plan development overlay, it allows for flexibility, and the applicant is requesting that the existing carport comply with the required two-car garage.
Okay.
So if
So
if I can I.
Sure.
I think I can.
It just contradicts what
right.
we're seeing.
So. Unfortunately, the staff report on page 73 of the packet, it talks about the proposed conversion to the two-car carport and a two-car garage, which was our mistake, and so we clarified that.
Yep. So staff's good with the carport. Qualifying and lieu of the garage, even though it's the small size.
If I can elaborate, the times we've allowed carports or uncovered parking, it's when it's not visible from the street, when it's in keeping with it, when it doesn't affect the character of the neighborhood. So if this project was very visible, staff would not be recommending approval. We would leave it up to Planning Commission to determine and the neighbors to see if they objected to that. And we did not receive any objections to the project. I did not receive any phone calls. The applicant indicated to me that He talked to his neighbors, and they were just happy that somebody was cleaning up the property and fixing the orchard and picking up trash.
Nope, as long as, again, just doing the due diligence, I'm just going through the wording that was presented.
I apologize, yes.
As long as we're clear here, because the size of it, number one, is extremely small. You can't get a car in there. But if we're not going to require a garage, then we're not going to require a garage. The other item that I had a question of, and it may be down the road, but what is AC paving?
I'm sorry?
AC paving, which is the driveway and the parking area and the area in front of the house. So on page
asphalt?
S2.
Asphalt, isn't it?
AC is asphalt? I mean, okay. Thank you.
Gary, you're not changing the driveway, right? It's just staying as the asphalt that currently exists?
It's asphalt, and that was originally specified in the track map. It was filed in 2008, and the track was originally put in.
It would be best if everyone come up and speak into the microphone. Identify yourself.
Good evening. My name is Gary Ost. It's currently asphalt. It's going to remain asphalt. And that driveway configuration was specified when the track was approved back in 1988 for that specific lot. So we're not changing anything with the driveway.
Okay. Any questions of the applicant?
Comments, maybe.
Okay. We do have a comment from the floor. I'll entertain that now. Before we continue with any questions, Mr. Hicks, please identify yourself.
Tim Hicks, 560 Howie Court, Santa Paula. Mm-hmm. I'd just like to say that this looks like a very good use of the land, and I would like to see it move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hicks. That's the only comment card that I have. So any further questions? Well, I think you had some comments, Vice Chair Robinson, so go ahead.
Well, I'm kind of glad to see this come forward. I drive by there just about every day, and I've often wondered what was up that long, windy driveway. And as I read the report, I first saw this, I thought it was sort of a granny flat addition. And I called staff and asked, well, how's this going to affect the main residence there? And they said there is no main residence, so that someone would be up there and I think providing oversight and cleaning up and maintaining the orchard is a good thing. I would caution if somebody does move in there, however, that they be very careful entering View Drive, particularly in the mornings. Just about a quarter till 8, and in the afternoons at about 3:15. And those are the hours all the school kids and their parents use Bradley and View Drive as a shortcut to get to the high school. And they don't often pay very close attention, particularly going around that corner. I have addressed this with the police department on numerous occasions because there are a lot of children on that street, particularly down on the eastern side. And the cars do travel sometimes very, very fast. But welcome to the neighborhood. Are you going to be living there, or are you going to have a? Oh, you are. Well, welcome to the neighborhood. And I would like to make a motion if there's no other comments.
Any other comments, commissioners?
Well, again, the lot's very challenging, I know, and I think the applicant's taken on a task there, which I in full approval of. I do have another comment or question, and that has to do with the fire department as well, which is on page 73, as well as the letter from the HOA about the minimum square footage. And right now, it doesn't qualify for that. It doesn't fit into the plan. He does have time to be able to make it work. However, if he's going to make it work, then that access road has to be widened to 20 feet. And I think that's a potential issue. So I'd like to hear from the applicant how he's going to address Mr. Billings' letter addressing the three options for the square footage.
There are several options there, and no one knows the answer to them. But I could expand the existing structure to 2,200 square feet, which would not require widening of the driveway. The widening of the driveway would only come into play if a second unit were put out there, which would be a whole separate structure and possibly a brand new primary home, which could happen. Or the HOA has obviously noted that this is a very unique lot in their whole association because of the size of it. It was kind of determined to be that size, so the overall average wouldn't be the standard, and then they made a bunch of smaller lots, and then this one was the leftover piece. So it is unique, and they understand it's unique, and I think they are even open to removing it entirely from the HOA or possibly changing the standard, okay, to lower it for this site. As you've noted, the pad is so far removed from anything, no one can see it, and not too many people really in the HOA care about it. So I think the intent of that regulation was to maintain the integrity of that custom home neighborhood that didn't want a small little house on a main lot fronting the other homes. So they seem to be open to dialogue there. I'm not quite sure which way it's going to go. The driveway could be widened to 20 feet. It would be an expense to go along with the second home option. But if I just enlarge the existing footprint, then there would be no need to widen the driveway.
That answers all my questions. I was just wanted to make sure that was being addressed on that.
No further questions? Do I hear a motion?
I move that we adopt plan development permit 2016 PD03, allow conversion of an existing 1,194 square foot garage into a new one-story hillside single family residence and construct a 294 square foot front porch.
Second?
I'll second. Go ahead.
Roll call vote.
Commissioner Summer?
Favor.
Vice Chairman Robinson?
Yes.
And Chairman Eckert?
Yes. All right, thank you. Okay, next item. Number 16, PD01951, La Vuelta Place, new hillside single family home.
Hi.
Okay. Mr. Domenech is going to.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. Thank you. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. The following is a hearing at the request of Valentine Garcia, gentleman, fourth row there. To consider case number 16, PD01, application filed on July 14th, 2016. Excuse me. So it's a request for a plan development permit to develop a single family residence in a long vacant lot. Here's an aerial indicating some of the massing and density of the surrounding neighborhood. The entire neighborhood in this area is zoned HR2 PD, Hillside Residential 2, and with a plan development overlay. That plan development overlay is important because that is the reason we're here today. That the municipal code requires single family homes within a PD overlay to come before the Planning Commission. Otherwise, this would have been done if it was down in the flatlands just by the applicant. Some of the views of the site, I'm sure everyone's at least been up there. North 10th Street is a popular route. It's undeveloped, oddly enough. The sidewalk terminates just to the east over here, so the part of this proposal would be connecting that sidewalk, wrapping around La Vuelta to connect to North 10th Street. And then looking from where, essentially where the garage would be graded down a little from here, looking to the south. Up at the top there, you'd still get the views of South Mountain and then across the valley, and we'll address the views from the northward neighbor in just a moment. Then looking up along 10th Street, someone's going to have to find a new spot to put all their political signs, but other than that, I think it's going to be a prime location for a new home. This is a general overview of the site plan. There's more detailed ones in your packet with the civil engineering drawing showing the topography and the particular layouts. Just to indicate, the axis of the house does run essentially north-south, if you want to, roughly estimating here, which does match the axis along La Vuelta Drive. And it does share a common roof pitch. So overall, when staff looked at this, the elevations, and then the overall neighborhood, it was deemed to fit within the overall context of the surrounding neighborhood. There's a variety of homes. Some have flat roofs. Some have mission style. But this California ranch was considered suitable for that neighborhood. Of important concern, and I believe as one of the letters you received today, just today came in from Mr. Serino, the neighbor, is the views to the north adjacent residents. We talked extensively this afternoon with Mr. Serino, and there's about a 7-foot difference between where the graded pad would be for the proposed new home and the existing house up here. So a person standing up there with that, you know, rough eyeball would still be able to maintain those views of the South Mountain and across the valley. This is that low, the only portion of the 16-foot ridgeline would be on the main home itself, the garage being substantially lower. So that does protect the views to the south, which is important for the hillside homes area. This is the illustration the architect has provided. Overall, you'd find the lower part of the wainscoting here in clapboard, then the rest of it would be covered in a rough stucco in a pale wheat color. Some of the other elements, the fascia boards, columns, would be what's described as mountain white, I guess a pure white form. The door is dark. The roof would be a black composite roof, and then the garage door would be painted to match the walls also in a pale wheat. The garage is not part of this illustration in here. For environmental review, CEQA provides a nice exemption, 15303, for single-family homes, and this falls squarely within that category. And overall, it this has been a long vacant lot, so it is an opportunity to develop this with a single-family home. We've gone through the development code as well as the neighborhood context and found that this is a suitable fit, and as proposed, it meets all of the City of Santa Paula development codes, standards, and policies that we normally apply to these. So the standard recommendation would be made for a project going for approval here is that we will be approving project 16PED01, also determine that it is exempt from CEQA under 15303, and then approve the conditions of approval as included in there. One of the items I do want to address is, it came up within the letter today, is I did speak with Mr. Serino extensively, and we went through it, you know, line by line, noting all of the different concerns, and one question came up regarding the, you have the existing power lines along North 10th Street, and they're aerial, and they're gonna stay there. Single family homes aren't required to undertake that burden of undergrounding those utilities. But the lines themselves won't be strung aerially to power the house. Those will be stubbed out at the ground and then run underground to connect to the, you know, main box at the house. So there will not be additional lines coming from the poles to the house aerially. Those will all be done underground, and that's per Raul Gaitan of Public Works, and I spoke to him this afternoon. So feel free for questions, and then the applicant is available for questions as well.
Commissioners, questions of staff?
Not I.
I have none at this point, so we'll entertain some comments from the public. But don't go away, we may call you back. Daniel Villanueva, please come up, state your name. And
good evening. My name's Daniel Villanueva. I've been a resident of Santa Paula about 10 years. I live directly across the street from this vacant lot at 952 La Vuelta Place. First of all, I'm really happy that somebody's finally building on this lot. It's been a nuisance lot, overgrown all the time. We get lots of dust off of that lot. I can never keep anything clean in, around, outside of my house. So I'm really happy that it's happening. I just wanted to express a couple of concerns. Number one, I wasn't sure what the retaining wall was going to look like in front of my property, directly in front of my property. Right now, if you go up or down La Vuelta, all of the homes that are higher on the hill have anywhere from a 3 to 8, 9 foot high retaining wall. I don't know that something like that would work at this corner lot. It would really take away from our neighborhood to add that right at the corner house. So I wanted to get more of a visual of what was gonna happen there, how they were going to address it. Obviously there's gonna be a sidewalk in front on La Vuelta, but how are they gonna address the that retaining wall that all the other homes have? That number one. The other thing I was a little bit concerned about is something that I'm sure is going to be addressed during the construction phase, and that's nuisance noises and the dust that's going to be coming up during the construction. I wanted just to let the owner know that I live there. We all live there, and we're going to. I'm looking forward to working with him. So that's just the other concern that I had. That's my only comment. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much, sir. Do you want to address any his additional comments there?
Yes. As far as the dust and construction, it is our standard protocols for best management practices and dust suppression. And any good project manager on site should be working with you directly. If not, the building and safety officials can always be alerted. You know, if they're not attending to that. But the parking should not be, you know, any impact should be temporary, and all of that should be handled through standard practices. There'll be little jute wraps to keep the soil from eroding, you know, should it rain during construction. There will be net exports, so we'll be grading into that sloped berm a little bit, about I think 307 cubic yards, if I remember correctly, will be exported out. And so, you know, there'll be some of that will be some disturbance, but they should be doing, you know, watering and other aspects. I did not include the civil drawing, but if we were to look at the, it doesn't really show up on this illustration, the sidewalk that wraps around that you saw on that northern photo, I could sort of easily show you the plans, you know, during the meeting or afterwards, but they're essentially keeping it like a rounded nose. They're losing most of their front yard to this slope. So if we go back to this illustration, this particular area is essentially just going to be rounded off, and there will not be a large retaining wall. I know exactly what you speak of, that the homes on La Volta further down have an abrupt wall right at the edge of the sidewalk, and then their front yards are level. This will not be the case for this corner lot. They've chosen to retain that rounded slope coming down to where the new sidewalk would be. In fact, there'll be right about this area, there's about a 5-foot wide staircase up to their formal front entry. And then so for the most part, I could show you the landscape plan and whatnot. They're landscaping with a variety of bushes and flowering shrubs and only three trees on the lot, but there will not be a large retaining wall. That's not part of this proposal. So it's going to really open up the corner, and that will really also help maintain that visibility for people coming to La Volta and looking to see traffic coming downhill. So that would not be an aspect of this project.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good. Thank you.
Actually, a question of staff on that. So there is no retaining wall at all?
No. In the front. In the rear, yes, there is a retaining wall. There's a small retaining wall. There's two of them, like an L shape, going against the north and east property lines. It's about 4 foot high, the highest at the rear of the lot, tapering down to about 1 foot along the Volta,
which would be towards the driveway.
Towards this side. So the retaining wall, about 4 foot here, descending down to about 1 foot, ending almost right where the edge of the house is. And then on this side, it goes from about 4 to 3 feet. And it's right on this line. There is a 10-foot wide utility easement. So the retaining wall is going to be right where you see that dashed line. And then this slope, be a 1-2 slope. It's going to have lantana and other plants on it. So it's a fairly low wall. And in fact, they're building it parallel to the existing retaining wall that you can see. Where is it? Right here. So this one's a little blockier. The other one's, my understanding, is going to be a smoother run, so less staggering. So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
While you're up there, may I?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
In Mr. Serino's letter, he talks about the area by the easement not being maintained. Is that area over there?
That's correct. Yeah,
that's part of this property.
That is, yes, and that is a utility easement, so the development is precluded there. But it's my understanding in the past, and Mr. Serino is in the audience here and is available to answer you directly, but it's my understanding that in the past that was essentially just getting overgrown, you know, and with any vacant lot, you know, weeds and whatnot would pop up, and being a diligent neighbor, he was took on the task of chopping it down and keeping it back. But as the landscaping plan provides, there's be drip irrigation for the various new bushes that would be proposed. So the weeds essentially would be eliminated as long as they maintain the mulch and, you know, do some good landscaping.
Okay.
Okay, well, we'll have Mr. Serino and Yvonne McMillan come up.
Thank you for hearing us. Yeah, the gentleman, he answered a lot of my questions today and stuff, and very, very helpful and enlightening on this project and stuff. I just, I've been working out of town for the last couple weeks, and so I just come home Friday, and all of a sudden we hear we got the card.
Okay.
So that's why I just put these notes together and stuff. My biggest concern is the view. And he showed in the one slide and stuff where my view is going to be a little bit obstructed, but not too bad. My whole deal is, okay, the hillside basically slopes from the east to the west and then from the north to the south. So everything's flowing down towards the west. And I just want to try and keep the roof lines kind of going the same on that one block, you know. That was my concern. And just so I don't lose that view. You explained the chimney, that's fine. It's going to be basically the same height as the center line of the house. And then it brings on my next concern with the retaining wall. Like I said, the neighboring house next to this lot here and stuff, they were an older couple and stuff that lived there, had the garage similar to this, and out of sight, out of mind. So it just basically weeds and stuff and just kept growing and everything, and I cleaned it up. Finally, I basically, up against our retaining wall, I rocked it all in, put plastic down, rocked it all in, and just made it a more user-friendly area and stuff, and he's welcome to that area and stuff. Right now, you can see I had the trailer parked there and stuff, using it as an RV access and stuff. With him doing the hill sloping area and stuff up to the retaining wall, it's my concern. It's pretty soon it's going to be behind the garage. It's going to be out of sight, out of mind. I don't know if the person has the intentions to sell the property and stuff. And then there's going to be a fence there. Then I'm going to start that headaches all over again. You know, I would gladly work with the owner and stuff as far as basically maybe just instead of getting that sloping area just to kind of keep it flush in that area so it's even ground where go ahead and go back with the rock. You know, and I'd be gladly to work with them. I'm thrilled that somebody's actually going to be building something on that lot because I've been down there myself where people walking up and down the street and stuff, and they're tripping over the dirt. It's sloughed over onto the sidewalk. So I've been out there shoveling the dirt back onto the lot and getting the weeds and stuff around there. So it'd be nice to see something there. But like I said, I do have concerns. Bought the house. As you know, when we live on the hillside and stuff, that's probably a lot of your equity is that view and stuff that you have. And you take that away, then you just basically have the regular old house.
My turn.
Your turn.
I'm Yvonne McMillan. Thank you for listening to us today and have us here. I reside with Mike in the home directly behind the property that's proposed. I have a concern, and that is the driveway being on 10th Street. I can't really tell from the diagram once the vehicle turns in the driveway before having to go into the garage. Is there room for that car to be completely off the street? Because I know myself, we have a nice long driveway. I have to come all the way in. There's always people walking up and down 10th Street. So it's a concern there that I don't see in the diagram. Is there enough that the vehicle is up out of off the sidewalk and out of the harm's way of traffic coming up pretty quickly up 10th Street? Okay, that's one address.
A lot of people run that stop sign.
And I have one, and no. And backing out of the driveway as well. The other concern I have is for the parkway along 10th Street. Again, Mike, as Mike was saying, he's the one that dug out those weeds all the time because they did grow. And I don't know if that's maintained by the homeowner or if that's city maintenance on that parkway area between the sidewalk and the street on 10th Street. That has become overgrown a lot. And again, being a short person, the view, of course, too, is my concern. So I hope that these things are addressed. I was curious, I didn't quite understand if he was going to bring the lot down, removing dirt, I understand. So
so I couldn't get really get a sense of that. So if you could address those issues, I would appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Those are all great questions, and all of those did come up. You have to remind me, I was getting to four questions to answer in my head. The first one, which was the driveway, this was in the staff report. I believe it's a trapezoidal shape. I believe it's a 14-foot depth at the upper portion of North 10th Street here and 17 down here. So depending on the length of your vehicle, you know, if you have an extended, you know, F-150 crew cab, that may be a little long for this side. I don't know how long those get, but you should be able to park two standard-sized vehicles in the driveway as well as in the two-car garage. So realistically, you'd be able to get four cars parked on property. Correct. So they would be parked right there off of. Now, you also have the option of parking on La Vuelta curbside, but there is no street-side parking on this side of North 10th Street, so that would not be an option there. You were asking about the views. The ridgeline right here, this is that where I'm shining the light, is the 16-foot height right there along the apex. So when they have the property here looking from their deck, it is important to remember that they're going to be looking and the house is going to be peaked. So they're going to have that, it's sloping away, so it does reveal a good portion versus if the house was, say, turned perpendicular where the entire horizontal edge, so just the peak of that triangular gabled roof would reach that, so the rest of it does slope away. So their views, you know, looking across the roof line would still reveal most. So that was another reason that staff felt that this was an appropriate orientation for the house, having the axis run in that north-south direction. I've forgotten the other two. The parkway. This was something I thought was interesting, because it was not proposed for irrigation. They're just going to be putting down decomposed granite or rock in there. So that area right here is just basically proposed to be rocked in. The landscaping does not include improvements to that area. And that is allowed to do a certain portion of the overall landscape with, you know, rock, cobble, and whatnot. It's 20%. And that qualifies. And I did not make a judgment call.
And the city will do that?
No. The homeowner will as part of the development proposal, but then the decomposed granite or DG is probably a wise choice, because cobble and whatnot could end up getting kicked out into the street and, you know, it's just going to tumble downhill. So something basically is packed earth is what we'd be looking at. Obviously, as the Planning Commission, you have that discretion to modify, as discussed in the staff report, various considerations, including landscaping within that feature. But as proposed, it would just be a low rock base. So not dirt, but small rock components. And the last one?
Well, basically the retaining wall.
The retaining wall.
Is there going to be a fence on that retaining wall outside the garage and stuff? But just kind of, like I said, it's just an area that I think it's just going to be like out of the property owner's side.
Oh, right. Yeah, this gets back into, again, because that retaining wall does come along right here behind the garage. There'll be a little concrete path to wrap around behind the garage. You do have that retaining wall, and then that 1-2 slope at the 45-degree angle, that is, going up to the Serino's property right here. So he brings up the issue is that if this lantana over there is not maintained, or if it fails, does it become tumbleweeds or so? And this is one of the standard conditions of approval. You'll note that it says that, you know, landscaping must be maintained in a neat and, you know, essentially tidy appearance. And this could be on that. Now, are we going to go up there and monitor these plants? No. But, you know, should it be called in, that is something that is a condition of approval as part of the proposed project. And sometimes, maybe, like Mr. Springer said, just working with the neighbor might be enough to get them to maintain and ensure that the irrigation is there. But as proposed, there are five emitters going along that side, and it is proposed for bark and the lantana, which is a loose flowering plant which doesn't require a lot of trimming and tends to work well in a loose form. It's low maintenance, not like a rose or anything, so you can just essentially, if it works, it'd be just fine leaving it alone, is what I suspect. Is that any other question? Does that satisfy?
His questions, yeah, that's fine. We have one more commenter, Susan Stephenson. State your name and where you live.
Good evening. I'm Susan Stephenson. My family and I have lived in Santa Paula for a little over 26 years, and we live on the Loma Vista, which is just uphill from La Vuelta. And so my concern is kind of about the landscape and hardscape plan, and specifically what the city can require the builder as far as like rainwater catchment, to keep as much rainwater going down in our ground as possible, rather than down 10th Street and La Vuelta and having mud and things. So I'd hope that, you know, some current thought about the spreading, slowing, and sinking of our little water that we're getting, but trying to keep it going into our groundwater, not down 10th Street into the storm drain and out to the ocean. So that's kind of just a thought to put out, that hopefully there'll be some interesting sort of maybe permeable type hardscapes that would allow maybe, you know, water to permeate through. And also it's in such a prominent place that if they were kind of artistic about it, it might be a demonstration type of situation. So that's my concern.
Thank you, Ms. Stevenson. Okay, I think that's all of the commenters that I have. Is that no more? Tom, no more? Okay. Commissioners? Vice Chair Robinson, you got...
Mr. Garcia here.
I think he's in the back here, isn't he?
He's right here. I'm just translating for him.
Oh, okay. All right. He is here.
Mr. Echevarria, the architect?
I don't believe he's present. Oh, the rep is not here.
Okay.
I actually have another question to staff. As far as the parking go, how many parking spots is necessary for this lot?
Two covered.
Just two, okay.
The garage suffices for that.
Okay, then they're covered, because the driveway is not big enough to park a car.
So I misstated the dimensions?
No.
Oh.
But my wife's car is a mid-sized sedan, it's 18 foot. My truck is a short bed and it's over 20, so 14 and 17, you're not gonna be able to park a car there.
Okay.
Unless it's a very, very small, yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'm driving smaller cars.
But I'm just saying, and
right, it does depend on the vehicle, for sure.
Yeah. And the garage is, I mean, we couldn't even get our cars in that garage, it's so small. But again, if the person has a small car, but again, the size of that, you only have 20 foot inside, so you, like I say, my vehicle would not fit in there, my wife's would be a challenge, you know, and hers is an average size car. So okay. just a comment, I just wanna make sure that we're, yep, good to go as far as the amount of parking spaces.
You are correct. The dimensions meet the development code requirements,
yeah,
for a single family home construction.
And we're good to go.
It's the new average, the new norm, right? A little smaller than yours?
Put it in the back of my truck.
I have a question or a comment, but more question. On landscaping this, it appears that there are some trees associated with the landscaping?
That's correct, yes. There's three trees proposed for this.
In this location, is there a restriction on the height of those trees?
No, there is not. And driving around or, you know, walking neighborhood, you see trees of varying heights. Now, could a tree, you know, grow up to block a view? I suppose that is possible. These are red peppermint trees. I'm a little fuzzy, but I think they top out around 30-35. I'd have to verify that.
That's good.
And so that obviously can be considered a positive to have more trees, but you know, if it's blocking your view, then it's a detriment.
The reason why I ask is where I live is up further up on the hill, and there is a restriction.
I see.
View homes, and there is a restriction, 20 feet.
Okay.
And there is no HOA. And it's a neighbor-to-neighbor kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
and there are many, many trees that are higher than 20 feet. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is you're concerned about the ridge line of this property, the neighbors there, but if trees don't come into the play, he'll lose his view if trees are allowed to go higher than the height of the home.
That is a good point. There are three trees. One would be proposed for this corner location right here, and I'd have to review the plans. I believe one over here, and then I think the other one is back around here. So this whole front wraparound corner and front is just shrubs and plants. So when analyzing the view, I was considering just looking across the roof line at a diagonal because the trees were positioned around the edges here. So it wasn't as if the whole front would be wrapped with trees, which then would provide a separate set of barriers should they grow to that height.
Okay.
The actual location of the trees are either side of the driveway and then to the south.
So one, two, and three here? Okay, thank you for correcting. Yeah. Yeah. One, two, and then there it is, three.
Mm-hmm. So that one, the top right one might be a potential issue. I wouldn't want it, but that's not my call. Yeah, that's the homeowner that takes care of that.
That's correct.
The staff? Along 10th Street, I should know this, but is that no parking?
We'll call it the east side, there is no parking.
I noticed in the picture, it's not red, but there is a posted sign.
Yeah, right here, yeah.
That's a no parking.
No parking along that side of the street.
That's a very busy street.
Correct.
And yes. I would be very concerned about safety, and the garage will back or go into 10th Street.
That's correct. I broached that with Public Works early on in the review process. I had the same concerns. Going, most of the homes obviously on LaVelta have the curb cut on LaVelta. They had no problem with that as long as it didn't interfere with the poles, which the driveway would just skirt the edge of that power pole, and that was acceptable to Public Works, and I followed their lead on that.
It's safe enough there if people comply with the 25 mile an hour max speed limit. No, I know they don't. Nobody does. Yeah.
And they don't even comply with the stop signs frequently.
I appreciate your comments regarding that. That was my original thought with the driveway, because any obscurity there whatsoever is not only cars, but it's people walking up and down that sidewalk, and again, pulling in and out of that driveway. So I would thank you for bringing up the tree.
Well, I think the owner is going to have to exercise a lot of due diligence and I think concern about egress and entrance. I could make a couple comments.
Go ahead.
I think basically I like the project generally. That lot has been an eyesore and a dust problem for a long time. We've got those ugly campaign signs on there. It'd be nice to not ever see those again. But overall, it's an improvement. And water is a concern when you live in the hill, even. Was a well-maintained and well-landscaped and good retention problem. When we do get those heavy rains, and we will once again, it is critically important that the retaining walls are well set, that the drainage collects well, and it goes to the appropriate place. Unfortunately, most of the water up here is runoff, and it's just going to go down the streets, but that is important, and people move up there, and it's a really nice neighborhood with a lot of well-maintained homes, and I think the people who live up there do have pride of ownership, and I would hope that this be inclusive of that and be well-maintained, and so that neighborhood will continue to be a preeminent part of Santa Paula. We moved to hillsides and up there for the view, and we all enjoy that, and as life changes and things move forward, things do happen that impact our views, whether it be, I think I would agree with Chairman Ickard, the trees are much more of an obstacle for view than the homes. I bought a house on View Drive, as I'd mentioned earlier, a number of years ago, and it has a very steep drop, and there's a house below me. When we moved in, it has a pine tree right in the corner next to my lot. And when we moved in, it was just a pine tree. Well, now it's a monster pine tree. And I used to be able to sit in my backyard and watch the high school football games from my backyard. And I can't even see the football field anymore because of that pine tree. And it's becoming really quite a safety hazard, I think, because it's just so overgrown. And the people there are elderly, and I've offered to help them with it, and I don't think they even understand what's going on. But, I mean, it's growing into the neighbor's orchard. It's growing into my yard, and it's just, and it's blocking my view, quite frankly. But that's just one of the things that you have to endure as life moves forward. So I think overall this is a good project and a good addition to our community, and it's certainly, I would implore Mr. Garcia to be a good neighbor and maintain it well and become an important part of that community up there. And I would like to make a motion if we're ready.
Okay. I'll echo some of Vice Chair Robinson's comments, and though I won't insist on something being in here regarding the trees, but I think that's a very important part of when you live on the hillside. And so in the landscaping process there, keep that in mind and be good neighbors. It's a good neighborhood, and it's a great neighborhood, actually, and there's a lot of wonderful people that live there, and they've enjoyed the surroundings for quite a while. And so I think that aspect of it needs to be taken into account. I think it's a good-looking planned home for there, and I'm happy that it is being developed finally. It's been a vacant lot for far too long. And I think it will be a good addition. I don't know what we can do to slow people down going up 10th Street, going up and down the street. I don't know what we can do to get people to stop at the stop signs there to improve safety. We can talk about it. We can send it to City Council. But I have the same problem in my neighborhood. I watch people just blow through stop signs as if and they're not like they're not even there. I expect one day they'll probably hit me in the side of a car, and I'll sue the heck out of them. I guess that's the only last resort. But 10th Street's a very busy, very, very busy street since the hospital has been open. And fortunately, we haven't had too many bad incidents up there. And right now, it's a little bit slower because we have construction going on up there on 10th Street, which we all enjoy. But I'm happy to see it, and I wish the owner good luck with this and get her built and get into it.
Just to kind of echo that before Vice Chair Robinson makes his motion, addressing the landscape and the irrigation. The landscape designer did an excellent job on the irrigation. It's state-of-the-art on that. So the plant material is always subjective. But as far as the type of irrigation, they're doing a backflow prevention, all the drip and things like that, all the Marlex tees and things. So it is state of the art, and that would be a nice addition to the area. And if you could perhaps express to the applicant, if you haven't already, that the three trees are very, very important to the neighborhood. And we don't have any jurisdiction on that, but might have him ask him to rethink those three trees at some time.
Well,
I don't think we can.
No, I think I'll offer a suggestion is letting Anna explain to the applicant the concern that the public, his neighbors, and the commissioners have is that the three trees, if I'm hearing you correctly, should be rethought and probably something else replacing them.
I'd like to, yeah. We can't subject that, but I'd like to
and
strongly
that would be
suggest.
Quite, that would be the final, you know, landscape plan is to let him rethink it. It's based on the height, their location, and the potential messiness of what they are.
And the blocking of the view.
And the blocking of, the potential blocking of neighbors' views as the trees mature over time.
And it could be blocking the views and just in and out of 10th Street too.
Correct. That's why I said all three trees, not just the one that's going to impact.
Yeah.
And I think if with Anna delivering that message to the applicant, staff and the applicant can finalize the landscape plan given the parameters that have been discussed this evening.
Good. I'm good with Anna's doing that.
Good.
Thank
you. Want to make the motion?
Good.
Okay, I'd like to move that we adopt a plan development permit 2016 PD01 and authorize new hillside home, one-story, 1,870 square foot, approximately 16 foot high roof at ridgeline with detached 441 two-car garage.
I'll second.
A question. Is what you suggested going to be part of the conditions of approval?
We cannot make that.
No.
We cannot make that. We can only suggest it, but no. It cannot be part of the
motion. Okay. So that would not be included in the motion, a suggestion?
Can't. That's no. Correct. Yeah.
So I make that motion.
Yeah.
And I'll second your motion.
And second. Motion moved. Second.
Commissioner Sommer?
Favor.
Vice Chairman Robinson?
Yes.
And Chairman Eigert?
Yes. And that's the last item for our public hearing. So I'll now close the public hearing.
New business.
Do we have new business?
No, I have city communications. Whenever
we haven't got to that yet. No new business? I think what I have is old business. It's more city communications issues. So let's go on to city communications.
Okay. Well, thank you. Commissioner Eichner, members of the commission, and members of the public that are with us this evening, I wanted to take a moment to go over some planning department items and communications. One is to introduce and welcome our new deputy planning director, James Mason. James, would you mind stepping forward so they know who you are and they can visually place a face with a name? James recently started last week. Over time, he'll be assuming many of the deputy planning director roles, which do include working very closely with the planning commission and staff for the packet and presentations and whatnot at planning commission. James has an extensive background in public and some private sector planning, administration, contracts, economic development, and I'll hand it over to you to give a brief overview of whatever you'd like to share with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to work for the city of Santa Paula. I have worked in Arizona, Washington State, and California, in municipal administration, both from a deputy city manager and assistant city manager position, also public works, community development, and economic development, as Jana mentioned, about 20 years. And private sector, technology sales. Just had to mix it up a little bit. So, any questions at all?
Good. No, welcome.
Welcome.
Yep. Happy to have you.
Other than that, if you'll bear with me a few minutes, I wanted to give you a rundown. And as you know, we have a new council member, Clint Garman. He has been meeting with the various staffs and the departments and has met with planning and will continue to, so we can provide him an overview of what it is we do and what your roles are as commissioners. You're going to ask me, what about our missing planning commissioner? Yes, we're still down by one, and hopefully early next year, the new council member will probably be interviewing the candidates who had applied for planning commission, and I'll have some better news early next year, follow up on filling the vacancy created by Mr. Wacker. Also in early December, we had some consultants come and spend 2 days in Santa Paula. Some of you were interviewed by them. They're dealing with questions and information about the downtown, particularly the Central Business District. And they interviewed, 20 plus individuals, members of the chamber, some of our planning commissioners, students, business owners, and whatnot. to gauge what people thought worked well, what they might suggest for improvements. Those results are currently being tabulated and will be provided to me sometime in the near future, which also feeds into our general plan update. It's supposed to knit this all together over the next several months to year. The purpose of having these consultants come and visit the downtown was to generate some ideas, things that your staff's unable to undertake on their own right now, but getting an outside consulting group to come in, generate questions and interest, and provide us with some feedback to point us hopefully in a good direction for the city and the community. Let's see. Also, November 19th, I know that sounds a ways back, the council did approve the East Area 1 Phase 1 track maps and the street names that they had requested. So we are now moving forward as quickly as Limoneira Lewis is or can with, you know, moving to the next steps. We're working on reviewing various plans and getting more details on the, you know, housing mix. You know the total numbers, but the mixes themselves. So I'm expecting we'll see some more activity early next year. See, also, as far as some current planning, you've probably heard about several requests in the downtown area for event halls or facilities. There's two. One is the La Terraza one, which you did approve a while back, but unfortunately, applicant let it expire, so they have to come back through the process. The other one is Mr. Milligar, and it's the old JCPenney building. So we have two proposals, various sizes, at basically the each opposite ends of the Central Business District. Staff is working on those. Joyce Parker Bozolinski, our contract planner, is actually working on both, which in it is very good because she can work on the planning, the parking issues, which have been that were a concern prior, and making sure that the applicants are not using both any parking lots simultaneously, because that would not help the situation. And if all goes very well, we'll probably try to bring them to Planning Commission on the same date, because it seems like they're very similar and the same issues for both. Also, Santa Paula West specific plan, the CEQA document is out for review, which the public comment period ends December 19th, and we'll see how that goes, and that will eventually come before the Planning Commission, then off to Council. That concludes some updates from the Planning Department.
How about the battery storage project?
Best.
Contributed some comments.
Yes, I'll call it BEST for short. They appreciated the concept review. They have formally submitted an application, which is currently under review, and we have a contract planner, Chris Williamson, is working on that right now.
Good.
That will probably eventually come back. I'm not sure how soon.
Okay, cool.
If I might, I actually have a question of staff. Would it help staff if we started at an earlier time than 6:30? I mean, because you guys typically work till 5. I mean, I think with our three respective schedules, if we started at 6 or 5, I don't know what time frame, but I wanted
I
to bounce
mind.
That off you. Because how many of you have to stay? Are you coming in just for this?
Coming in just for this, so at your pleasure.
So the time's there.
Most of the staff and planning is on a 9:80, so we basically work to 5:30. Starting at 6, I don't think would be a problem for us because we're already here. It's not like we can work, go home, and come back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You have like an hour to hour and a half. Uh-huh.
If it suits your schedules.
I don't have a problem with any earlier time.
I mean, we'd have to do that as a future agenda, I would think, but I just wanted to throw it out there.
Okay.
Well, who has to approve our
item? I would welcome another time.
Can I offer a suggestion?
What would be the earliest time for staff first, and then we'll...
About 3 to 5.
We have to get an opportunity for the public to be able to be available for that.
I would say 6. The other question we would have is Mr. Demers' schedule.
He's still
working. But if we want to agendize it for a discussion, why don't we bring that forward so we can hear from everybody?
I work 50, 60 hours a week. I make the time. So
I know that. But I'm thinking, why don't we look at moving it up to 6?
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Yeah. But we don't know until we ask.
Well, can we do that as a put it on an agenda item for next time?
Sure. I'd be happy to.
Okay.
We'll do that because a new planning commissioner might be coming in at that time, and
it's not the Easter Bunny coming next. It's Santa Claus.
Okay. All right. Anything further from staff? No?
I think just to wish, because this is our last meeting this year.
This is our last one this year.
2016. We'll be back on our normal schedule in 2017. I think from myself and the planning department, just to wish each of you a very happy holiday and to your families, and that we've had a pleasure working with all of you this year. So with that, I'll pass along some sweets.
Thank you. Well, I just want to say to staff, we appreciate all the hard work and getting the information to us and getting us prepped to go through things. And I know it's difficult and you've gone through some turmoil and some changes and so forth, but you've maintained the consistency of the product. And I think you do a fine job, and I'm very happy with it. And I too wish you all a very Merry Christmas, as well as to the rest of the commissioners. And
Merry Christmas to all.
And to Councillor as well. Did Planning Commission members have any other comments? Or we got agenda items done, so I think we're close to adjournment, unless there's anything else. All right. 2016's done. We're adjourned.
Check this out. Let's see what it
means. Is this on or on?
Okay, so this is the big old, this is the whole kit and caboodle here. So, I've got this digital phone. See? Okay, boy, this really shrinks down to nothing.
Yep, sure does. So this corner here does not have, nor this corner.
That's correct. This came up during the project review, which is when all the departments get together. And it, as part of the extension to this sidewalk, they are putting in a ADA compliant ramp. It's got to have a yellow rumble
Right
there and all this. This was a tricky one because you can get into issues where you're creating a ramp to nowhere. And that can be considered problematic. However, you know, that's not to say that somebody doesn't exit here and come up that way. Then you say, well, you know, maybe they're supposed to do one or the other street. And that's where legal says, where the hell is your nexus to make them do this one? So the homeowner himself, the development of this property will accommodate a ramp over here. As far as this one, there is no proposal currently. This will still remain that big square curve. Going forward, what usually motivates many cities to do this, and it happens city after city. Santa Paula is pretty small. I know this is in Sacramento 2 years ago and other places. Somebody comes in and sues and says, oh, you're... Then they go around.
I figured that's what I would have to do to get that one. I see too many people coming up here in an electric wheelchair. Yeah. And they get here and they're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And they have to go,
all the way down. Yeah.
And then the road right here is really, really bad.
It's all alligator,
so, yeah.
Yeah. So it's half of one, and so in getting these sort of things are that is completely in the realm of public works, and that would be what we call capital.
How are you?
You still have a 58 Ford?
57. You've got the 58, buddy. I've got the 57.
Oh.
Yeah,
I haven't seen
it
out there in a while.
Haven't driven it, but my daughters. I'm
sorry.
No worries.
I don't have time anymore.
That's one of those items that could be, you know, possible in the future scenario. A lot of it is just, you know, whether or not it rises, like wastewater treatment, you know, replacing sewer pipes. Those are always going to be pressing.
Right.
And then right now, people are sick of the potholes. So there's that. And then, you know, these are one of these things. And so a lot of times, nothing will happen until some other development occurs, or there happens to be or a lawsuit or something.
Because I know they did the ones one block lower, so that they didn't come up and do these. That was to me.
I don't understand the logic there of this, because majority, about 70% of the buildings,
oh, yeah.
A lot of this stuff is just not compliant.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
So maybe there was a school route or, you know, some sort of other thing that tied into it, you know, walkability and next to school.
Possibly, yeah, because it's know, there's right there. There's all sorts of, sometimes other mitigating factors about why this area is important. That, you know, a lot of it is tied to certain money, especially when it comes to public rental stuff. It's crazy expensive. And then there's just so many. You do one, and then it's like, Winkers is a legitimate question.
Yeah.
So is there any other questions about this project that I can...
No, I think my main concern was, you know, during the construction phase and then this wall.
Yeah, which there won't be. You can
see
this
won't be a wall. So it's just going to be...
These are gradient lines about 1 foot separation. So they're basically just rounding it all out, and then it'll be, you know, barred and flowering plants and all that. If you want to write dream in on, I can email you the full set of plants so you can actually zoom in on your computer and not take a jeweler's loop to see.
Yeah, you got it.
Absolutely. Any good bureaucrat.
I'm assuming you're
in. And paper. That's right.
Yes.
You got homework, huh?
All right. Yeah, this'll be great. Thank you.
DZV?
DZV.
DZV at?
QAD.
All right. That's a new one.
Yeah. The other thing is, you know, there's a river that runs down through here when it actually rains.
Yes.
If this driveway is not higher, all that water is going to go right in there.
Yeah, that's you'll be able to see that on the civil drawings, which is actually this sheet. When you zoom in, it, you know, it's got
so it's got a little elevator there.
Yeah, this is the before. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that you can see how it's all going to be firmed up and all of that. So that is to meet the design standard, because it does, the driveway does go up. So I understand what you're saying. It acts as a funnel.
The driveway is going to be small.
Okay. Yeah. See, my car fits, so maybe that's the problem.
Well, there's standard operating procedures.
There is. That's a very standard thing that they're going to lay down the jute mats to retard erosion. They should be, you know, applying water at certain areas, which sometimes drives people crazy. They're saying, that's drinking water. You know, why do you want water down there? And so it's a balancing act, right? It's to maintain the dust. And a lot of it is really they come in for a pre-construction meeting, the public works, and all the tradesmen and the building officials, and they go through all the different steps. And you know, any builder with the salt is going to go, yeah. I already got rolls of jute in my car. I know what I'm doing. But if they're not, the best course is they should have a posting on the site. You know, maybe not on a small project. If you see that number, you know, somebody that's working with the project super. And if not, like building official can always go out there and let them know what they're doing. Whoa, come on, guys. Get your act together. No, what they need to get what they want. So we're well aware of that. There are allowances. They understand it's a temporary situation. All that. The hours of construction standard ones are 8 to 6. Oftentimes, we'll find variations on that. Whenever they choose, planning's done. Yeah, well, this project being approved today, there's a 10-day appeal period. I don't know. That's all up to them now. If they're smart, it'd be 2 months. That's fine. So if it's dogs and out, then they're going to be eating up money.
This kid is really good at doubling things out. So I'm a little concerned that it could be drawn out quite far.
This would be up to them. This would be out of our budget. It's going to be up to them. Whether he hires which crew to get the job done. The permit itself, all they have to do is pull permits within a year. And between now and 3 or 6 days from now, if they don't have a building permit, this thing dies. But if they do,
But once they start building, they'll have to get things inspected and approved and all that.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Hung up,
right? But it could work. It could go smoothly. Again, a lot of it depends on the caliber of the folks that they hire. They have doing this. And this one is, I don't think it's overly complicated. You know, they're not really changing a lot of this earth out there. And, you know, the overall design, I think, I don't foresee this one. It's not like a crazy hillside.
Well, I mean, there's a reason that it's still a lot.
Well, it did
go forward, please.